Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
I want you to take your Bible and open your Bible up to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. Today's paper, there's an article about the man who made the prediction. If you need one of these Bible studies, if you'll raise your hand, then they'll bring you one, okay? Just keep your hand up until they get it to you, all right? There's an article there in the paper today about the gentleman who made the prediction. The title of the article, Minister's Prophecy of Last Day Proves Wrong, Believers Carry On. And the article says, when 6 p.m. came and went at various spots around the globe, and no extraordinary cataclysm occurred, Keith Bauer, who had hopped in his minivan in Maryland and driven his family 3,000 miles to California for the rapture, he took it in stride. He said, I had some skepticism, but I was trying to push the skepticism away because I believe in God, he said. In the bright morning sun outside the gated Oakland headquarters of Family Radio International. I was hoping for it because I think heaven would be a lot better than this earth, Bauer said. But he added, it's God who leads you. And then he mentions this man's name. Bauer, a tractor trailer driver, began the voyage west last week, figuring that if he worked last week, I wouldn't have gotten paid anyway, is what he said. So he took the week off, if the rapture did happen. After seeing the nonprofit ministry's base of operations, Bauer planned to take a day trip to the Pacific Ocean, then start the cross-country drive back home today with his wife, young son, and another family relative. And so here was a prediction made by a radio pastor, radio preacher, that did not come true. Tonight we're talking about testing the spirits. I want you to look at 1 John chapter 4. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. But by this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Now, just to refresh our memory, the book of 1 John was written by the author of the Gospel of John. The date is around 90 AD that this was written. Most Bible scholars believe that John joined other Christians in departing from Jerusalem prior to the destruction of that city in 70 AD. He probably went to Ephesus and wrote this letter to the churches of that region. The theme of the letter drives believers back to the basics of the Christian life. Hence, we are calling this series Real Christianity. Anything less is like cotton candy. He draws us back to the basics of the Christian life. True doctrine, number one, obedient living and fervent devotion. Now, one of the issues that was a part of the writing of this, or one of the pieces of background you need to know, is that there was a philosophy going around called Gnosticism, taken from the Greek word gnosis, which means to know, and it had with it the idea that there was some special knowledge that gained you salvation rather than putting your faith and trust in the man Jesus Christ from Nazareth, who was the Son of God who died on the cross and rose from the dead. And so the Gnostics believed that the Spirit of Christ came upon Jesus in his body at his baptism, and then right before he was crucified, the Spirit of God left him, and he was crucified and died. And they do not believe that Jesus came in the flesh and that he lived and he died on the cross and was raised. Jesus of Nazareth was raised from the dead, as we know that the New Testament teaches. And so they taught that there was some type of special knowledge that you would have to have in order to have a relationship with God in order to go to heaven. And so this was one of the main philosophies that John was writing against, Gnosticism, some kind of special knowledge that you had to have in order to go to heaven. Now, having said that, I want to quickly review. So look at your sheet on number one, all right? Very first side. Real Christianity changes the way we live. Number two, real Christianity changes the way we love. I'm hoping that you'll memorize these little phrases. And so when we come to the end of 1 John, you'll know an outline of some of the main principles that are taught there. Number three, real Christianity is a life of growth. We don't stay static, but we grow. Real Christianity is a life of caution. Real Christianity is committed to the truth. That's very important. Real Christianity is demonstrated by practicing righteousness. Then number seven, real Christianity loves at the highest level. Now, we talked about that last week. There are three topics that continually come up in 1 John. Can anybody just tell me what those are? I'm just curious. Does anybody know? The middle one is obedience. What's the first one? Anybody know? Love. Love. These are three topics that continually come up in 1 John. If someone was to say to you, what is 1 John all about? You could use these three words and you could describe it. Love, obedience, and truth. All right? So write those down. Commit that to memory and you'll know an overarching truth or three truths taught in the book of 1 John. Now, from last week, we considered four levels of relationship as presented in the passage. It actually talked about murder. It talked about hatred. The third one was it talked about indifference, being indifferent to the needs of others. And the Bible was teaching us that if we say we have Jesus Christ and yet someone has a need, a brother has a need, and we're not willing to meet that need, then we're not really the real deal. We're not really living out the Christian life if we're not willing to meet that need and we approach them with indifference. And so the last blank there, letter D, is Christian love. We are to show true Christian love. Now, tonight, the main principle is number eight. You notice there are seven things that we have said about real Christianity. And I'm hoping when we get to the end of it all, we'll have a little bookmark for you with these seven or eight or nine or ten things on there, and you'll be able to put that in your Bible and hopefully give you an overview of the book of 1 John. But here's number eight for tonight's lesson. Real Christianity leads one to discern true teaching from false teaching. To discern true teaching from false teaching. Now, it says, beloved, do not believe every spirit. Letter A under that, do not believe means stop something that is already going on. John is saying to these people, you are already believing things that are not true. Stop believing these false spirits, these false teachings. It's already happening. And so when he says it that way, he makes it clear, stop something that is already going on. Now, the Scripture makes it clear that teachers can be controlled by either the Holy Spirit or by demons. I want you to look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Very important Scripture here. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now, the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. So we know that there are those that teach, and they teach with the Spirit of God anointing what they are teaching, and there are those that teach from a standpoint of a deceiving spirit. I have been in meetings where someone would pray this prayer. They would say, "Lord, we pray that the Holy Spirit is the only spirit that ministers in this place tonight. There are no other spirits that minister in this place." Now, listen, I know that the Christian world ebbs and flows with an emphasis on the spiritual realm and spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare is very real, ladies and gentlemen. There's an unseen world that we don't see with our physical eyes, that there are forces of wickedness that are against the things of God. And the great news is we learn from this scripture that the believer has victory over the evil spirits because we are hidden in Christ. So we don't have anything to worry about that other than to make sure that we are controlled by the Holy Spirit. But teachers, those that are speaking, can be controlled by the Holy Spirit or by demons. Letter C, the believer doesn't test the teacher for the purpose of condemning him, but to affirm that what is being said is correct. Now, I want you to see that, and I'm trying to find the scripture here. Do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. In verse 1, but test the spirits. Now, that phrase in the scripture, test the spirits, to test for the purpose of approving. The idea is not that you are consumed with skepticism. Now, I like the fact, I found this very interesting that the scholars pointed this out, that the word for test the spirit has with it the idea that when we test the spirit, we're testing it for the purpose of approving. Don't treat someone as a heretic before he proves himself to be one. There are some people that test the spirit because they're skeptical about everything. They're just skeptical about every teaching. Now, it doesn't mean that we are not to be tested. I hope and pray that as you study the scripture, that the things that I say prove to line up with the Word of God. If there's something that I say that does not do that, I want to know about it. I want you to tell me about it because I want to correct it, or I want to dig into the scripture to know that what I am saying is correct. I don't get up here lightly, and I don't teach the scripture lightly. I've spent time in the Word of God, but I'm fallible. I may miss something. But the point of that, the reason I bring that up is, when this scripture says, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirit, it is not trying to turn every single Christian into a fanatical skeptic about every little thing that is said, but it is to test the spirit for the purpose of approving. All right, that's important. Now, letter D. The test is that the teacher believes that Jesus is the Christ. Now, Dr. Kenneth Wiest, who was professor of New Testament at Moody Bible Institute, wrote the Wiest Word Studies. We have them in our library. Dick McCallum was one of his students at Moody. You ought to talk to Brother Dick about Dr. Kenneth Wiest. Incredible scholar. Here's what he says about this statement. The statement speaks of the God of the Old Testament who, in the person of His Son, became incarnate in human flesh without its sin, died on the cross to satisfy the just demands of His law, which man broke, and raised Himself from the dead in the body in which He died to become the living Savior of the sinner who places his faith in Him in view of what He did for him on Calvary's cross. Now, to say that Jesus is the Christ, you see, verse 3, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. Gnosticism, which is what John was combating here was the idea that it was some special knowledge. Jesus of Nazareth was not important to the Gnostic. And yet we know that from the very beginning of the book of 1 John, in 1 John 1:1, it says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, now get this, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, which our hands have handled concerning the word of life. One of the things that John is doing in this book of the Bible is he's saying, let me tell you, this man Jesus of Nazareth, he was God's son. We saw him with our eyes, we touched him with our hands, we heard him with our ears. It was Jesus Christ. And so one of the tests, or the test of a teacher or a false teacher, is how they viewed Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now, turn the page over. Letter E. Those that believe in Jesus have victory over the false spirits because God's spirit is greater than the false spirits. Verse 4, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. I personally do not want to do battle with Satan myself. But I tell you what I will do. I'll hide myself in Jesus and let Jesus do that battle. And I promise you that the devil is no match for Jesus Christ. And so if I am in Christ, if I am of God, little children, you have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Letter F, their doctrine comes right out of the world. Now it says they speak as of the world. In verse 5, they are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world. When it says they speak as of the world, it means out of the world as a source they speak. Out of the world as a source they speak. Now, do not forget John 14:6. What does it say? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Ladies and gentlemen, when you get your Christology right, now, what that word means is what we know about Jesus Christ. That is the way we describe in theological terms the study of Jesus Christ. When you get your Christology right, you will eliminate very quickly most of the cults and most of the false teaching that is out there in the world. If you're ever speaking to someone about, and they seem to get you a little confused, just come out and ask them, what do you believe about Jesus Christ? And many, many times it'll trigger immediately a conversation that will lead you to know that they do not believe about Jesus the way you believe about Jesus from the New Testament. I want you to take a look here. Consider, John 14:6, every New Age religion is fouled up about what they believe about Jesus and salvation. Just consider these statements. God is all things, and all things are God. Well, you know what that is? That's pantheism. That means God's in this pulpit. That means God's in this piece of wood right here. I don't know where that came from. God's in that speaker. God's in that hand. God's in this microphone. You know, everything. God's in a tree. Everything is God, and God is everything. That's pantheism. That's a false teaching. Another thought, we must do good in order to be reincarnated. Hinduism. That is a false teaching. They have a wrong view of salvation, a wrong view of what the Bible teaches about Jesus. Salvation comes by reaching our full potential. You've heard these statements before. Salvation is the top of the mountain. In other words, what we're trying to get to is the top of the mountain. Have you ever heard this? And all roads lead to the top. Salvation is getting to the top of the mountain, and all roads lead to the top. Consider, letter H, some statements made by so-called believers. Many roads lead to God. It does not matter which one you take as long as you are sincere. We've talked about that when we did our Bible study about truth and the importance of truth. The issue is not, are you sincere in your faith? Although sincerity is important. We need to be sincere in our faith in Christ. But let me say this. The most important thing about faith is, what is the object of your faith? What are you putting your faith and trust in? Because your faith rises and falls upon what is the object of your faith, not necessarily what is the sincerity. I keep using this illustration. If I sincerely believe that if I walk on a quarter inch thick of ice over a frozen lake, like I did one time in Richmond, Virginia, wanting to go ice skating, and I sincerely believe that it's going to hold me up, when I get out there with my skates and I'm on that quarter inch ice, I don't care how sincere I am, I'm going under. It's a wonderful life all over again, right? I'm going under. And I didn't have a brother to save me like he did. But anyway, the point is, I'm going under. My sincerity made no difference. The object of my trust was faulty. However, if I'm a little weak in my faith and I walk out on a Scroon Lake in the Adirondack Mountains, which I did one time, that the Scroon Lake was a 9-mile lake, but it was so cold up in the Adirondack Mountains, it was 2 feet thick of ice. They drove trucks across it. That's how thick it was. If I was a little timid, my timidity is not going to make me go under, because what I'm trusting in is sure. You see my point? Now, let me say this. Number one, make sure the object of your faith is correct, and then get it sincere and sure, okay? I'm not endorsing having a weak faith in Jesus Christ. I'm endorsing having a sincere, genuine, powerful faith in the Lord Jesus. But please make sure that your faith and those you know and love and those you influence, make sure it is in Jesus Christ and not something else, because sincerity in the wrong object of faith leads to destruction. And so people, when they say, when they make the statement, as long as you are sincere, that's a faulty statement. Second one there, we are saved if good works outweigh our bad. We know that's faulty. Christianity is not superior to other religions. Well, let me say this. Truth, by definition, now hear this statement. Truth, by definition, is exclusive. If I'm standing at the intersection of 39th Avenue, crossing over from the Publix across to the Walgreens, and the cars are flying down 39th, I can think, well, I can go, and I can say, well, the car can go, but the truth is, we're both not going to make it. There needs to be just one. In other words, there's an answer. If someone says to a couple, are you expecting? And the man says yes and the wife says no, they can't both be right. Truth by definition is exclusive. And so it is not that Christianity puts down other religion in the sense of being bigoted or prejudicial against it, but it is a fact that we can argue we are right. Can you even say that in our day? Would you want to believe in Christ if you weren't sure it was the truth? So think about these statements. Jesus is not the only way to salvation. There is no such thing as absolute truth. Reincarnation is not incompatible with Christianity. Well, yes, it is. What is sin for you may not be sin for me, regardless of what the Bible says. Being a Christian is a matter of what we believe, not how we live. Well, let me say this. The whole book of 1 John combats that statement. As a matter of fact, you say, well, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. The Bible emphasizes belief, Pastor, not the way we live. But wait a minute, let me just say this to you. The word believe in the Gospel of John is a very powerful word. It's what some of the professors used to say to me, it's a pregnant word. There's a lot of stuff there. There's a lot of meaning there. There's a lot hidden there. You say, well, all we have to do is believe. That's right. But we have to believe the New Testament way. And belief in the New Testament way is to live out what we endorse and what we trust in. And so the book of 1 John is all about living out the Christian life. So that's important. Now, consider these scriptures about false teaching. And I don't have time. I've already run out of time. I'm going to hurry through this. Consider these scriptures about false teaching. In Deuteronomy 18:22, it's false if it doesn't come to pass. Let me just say this. False. It didn't come to pass. Moses said it in Deuteronomy 18. If a man makes a prophecy and it doesn't come to pass, it's false. By the way, take courage, my Christian friend. Do you know there are hundreds of Bible prophecies that were in the Old Testament? We ought to do this one night. Just go through them all. Not the hundreds, but you know, we'll split it up, okay? They've all come true. They have all come true. There are those that have yet to come true, but they will. But there are hundreds that have come true. And it's an encouragement to us because Deuteronomy says if there's a prophecy and it doesn't come true, it's a false prophecy, obviously. Deuteronomy 13, even if miracles occur, don't serve any other gods. Moses said to the people, if someone does a miracle, they do a sign or a wonder, and then they try to get you to serve a different god, it's a false prophecy. Don't do it. In 1 Corinthians 12, Paul says, evaluate what is said. What is actually said, does it line up with the scripture? And then in Matthew 24, Jesus warned of false teachers. He said they were going to be there. Now, the last thing, and this is all from 1 John, so I want you just to have this as a way to understand and think about and test truth. Here are the tests that emerge from 1 John about whether something is true, all right? Number one, doctrinal purity. We must acknowledge that Jesus has come in the flesh and is from God. And the verse is right there in parenthesis next to the principle. The second thing is moral purity. We must live lives of holiness. Do not listen to someone who's not living it. Okay? So there needs to be moral purity. There needs to be obedience. We must keep God's commands in chapter 3, verses 21 through 24. There is an emphasis on divine love. We must let the love of God live in us. And we have talked about that in past passages. And then brotherly love. We must love our brother. These are all tests of a true teacher. And then it must have the love of God. We must love God in chapter 5, verse 2. We'll come to that. But it says this, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. So, there are ways to test truth. And by the way, when it says in chapter 4, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. They are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into this world. By this you know the Spirit of God. It is talking to every single believer. Now let me say this, and I am thrilled to be a pastor, but can I tell you this? Your knowledge of the Word of God should be enhanced by what I do, but it does not totally hinge on me being your pastor. And the reason I'm bringing that up is that when he says you test the Spirit, he's talking about every single believer. Just because someone over here says that's true, you test it. You test it as a believer in Jesus Christ. That is very, very important. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer tonight.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.